Just get started. Because once again, you know, I mean, all you got to do, we talked about this before, you and I, is just turn on the news and see what's going on. And back to my analogy about the Middle East, look where we've come in the last year, year and a half, Dr. Steve, since I was last on the show talking about the Middle East. We have just not taken a step in that direction. We are running a sprint towards an absolute calamity and catastrophe over there that is pretty much probably inevitable at some time during the history of this world.
Hey, gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, and I've got some good news, and I mean really good news, but I've also got some bad news. Now, the good news is that the New York Post has reported that Biden, as far as they're concerned, Biden has already officially lost the election. That's right. The New York Post is basically the first major paper predicting a Biden loss. He's one and done. But it's not because of Trump's dominance like we saw in Iowa. It's not necessarily even because of like the incompetence at the southern border. They're predicting that Biden is one and done because of what's happening in the Middle East. And this is where the bad news comes in. According to this report, our supply chain is getting hit harder than ever. Attacks on the commercial ships you've heard about in the Gulf by the Houthi rebels, they're radically stunting our supply chain. So again, according to the report, the amount of cargo going through the Red Sea has dropped 52%. Now, to put that in context, during COVID, it dropped only 20%. So this is a significant interruption in the supply chain. And guess what's going to skyrocket as a result? Inflation. Inflation is predicted to go up even more precisely because ships are being moved to aid European ships and go longer routes to evade the Houthi attackers. So one way or another, it seems inflation is going to rise again. And so with inflation being a primary issue for voters, the New York Post is forecasting that there's really, in the end, they don't see any, absolutely no way Biden's going to win this. That's his Achilles heel as far as they're concerned. Now, while Biden potentially losing is certainly good news, for the average family, disruptions in the supply chain and soaring inflation are a disaster. So what do we do? Well, joining me once again to discuss this and provide a plan of action is Ted Johnson of Ready Project. He's an expert at survival skills and preparing for these exact situations. So Ted, welcome back. Great to see you again.
Thank you, Dr. Steve. I'm excited to be here today. No doubt about it.
That's awesome. It's been too long. It was good catching up before the interview. I mean, you're on the front lines of this stuff. Give us a sense of how serious this is. How have global supply chain issues already affected food supply in America?
The answer is yes, but where I'd like to start with your question is a little bit more micro, you know, in the communities and what's going on in the communities. What you see happening is obviously supply dictates demand. And you're starting to see, like, for instance, with earthquakes or tornadoes or potential disasters, when these things take place, you see I don't know if you've ever seen it. I live in Florida. So in 2017, I had Irma. In 2018, I had Michael. And all of our local grocery stores only have anywhere between 2 and 6 days worth of food. But in some type of catastrophic situation in a community, those shelves empty immediately. So your 2 to even 6 days, which is incredibly short, can literally become a couple hours. And so what you're seeing happening here, though, is we've already seen it. We've been a part of it. I have a family of five. I'm married. I have a freshman in college. I have an eighth grader and I have a sixth grader. My eighth grader and my sixth grader absolutely love Chick-fil-A, right? So every time we're going to go out to eat dinner, Dad, Chick-fil-A, Chick-fil-A, Chick-fil-A. So I take him to Chick-fil-A. Now, I want you to really think about this. For me to take my family of five to Chick-fil-A, cost about 75 to $80.
Wow.
If they get milkshakes, right? So wow. The thing about it is we're already seeing one of the effects, and we've seen this literally since the pandemic. You saw it with toilet paper. Then you see it with
right.
chips that goes into cars. It's like we're being programmed to understand that there can be shortages blamed on supply chain issues. But when there are shortages, prices escalate. We're all living it right now. And for it to get worse, you know, like if the average American's out there making, let's just say $20 an hour, that means that they need to work approximately 5.5 to 6 hours. If they have a family, if they're going to take five people to Chick-fil-A to pay for that Chick-fil-A meal. And wow. it's the wow. economics just stop working. So the reality, though, is that, yes, you know, you are having global supply chain issues. And when you have global supply chain issues regarding food, we'll talk about domestically here in the United States in a minute. But when you have these type of issues, the reality is we all know supply goes down, price goes up. And right. that's just the way that it works. And there's yeah. no getting around that.
There's no getting around that. Exactly. So, yeah, it's almost like literally a natural law in that sense, that economic law. So if there were a mass supply chain crisis globally, which it does, at least according to the New York Post, it looks like that's what we're looking at here. How would America fare given our current national food infrastructure? You understand the food infrastructure and how it's transported and the like. How would we fare in the midst of that?
Well, you've got two situations to look at. Once again, you have supply and economics, right? So coming back to what I was just talking about a little bit, a lot of people don't buy Ferraris because economically they just can't afford a $250,000 car. So the reality here is let's just take supply out of it. If prices just organically went up, if a grapefruit went from X percent, you know, X dollar to $10, not so many people are going to be able to buy grapefruits, right? So you have an immediate economic impact. And once again, whether you really realize it or not, you're feeling it now. But right. if those food prices, if that $75 meal that I talked about at Chick-fil-A all of a sudden becomes $125 meal or $100 meal, you can't go. Now, and then there's trickle-down effects from that for the Chick-fil-A organization and all restaurants and everyone in the food services industry. So you have just basic economics that can drive prices so high that people cannot afford the essence of life, which is basically, you know, water and food. Then you yeah. have, then you have another situation, which is a true supply chain shortage where you have no supply. This in some cases is even worse because now even if I can pay $1,000 to go to Chick-fil-A, Chick-fil-A doesn't have chicken. So right, right. the reality is that then that even gets worse, and supply is what we've all got to look at. Now, economics is literally just as important because that eliminates supply for a whole lot of Americans. But the right. reality is that we spoke last time, and I yeah. really, really focus and talk a lot about how I'm American through and through, right? But at the end of the day, I'm just telling you that although I believe that we are still the ultimate world power and dictate a lot of things that happen in this world, so this is not an anti-American statement. I'm just saying,
right?
I'll give you an example a little bit outside of food. We talked about this last time. 70% ish. Of all metformin is a drug that type 2 diabetes need to drive their blood sugar down. 70% of that drug comes from the nation of China. Right, so all right. of a sudden, what's going to happen if something happens, Taiwan, this, that, you know, I mean, just watch the news. You see 8 different storylines on any given day or more on China and our relations with China. What would happen if that drug stopped coming in to the type 2 right. diabetics that absolutely need the drug? So we already know what would happen. The the wealthy would continue to get the drug until the point that only even maybe the 1% could get the drug. So
right.
what is happening on that on a worldwide level is we are so now reliant. We are yeah. not as self-sufficient as Americans would like to believe. And the if you really look back upon our history, you go back to the 1800s, people worked for food for the most part.
Right.
There was other verticals, but for the most part, we all worked for food. I got up.
It was a commodities based economy, as it were.
Yes, it was commodity. I went out and I got the eggs. Little Benny went milked the cow. Charlie and I went out and plowed the field. You reap what you sow. The crops coming down the road. Well, then the industrial age comes along, and we really, as a whole, really stop working for food and stuff, and that, and like you say, commodities, and we start working for money, and
for
urbanization
cash.
Starts to
cash. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And urbanization starts to take place. And so during this whole entire progress, now here we are, and I will guarantee you that 9.5, which would be 95%, 9.5 out of every 10% of your viewers, they don't have substance to last them till a week from tomorrow. So we don't have, like I mentioned last time when we talked, I just loved going visiting my grandparents in Detroit, in the 70s and the early 80s. And the garden that they had in their backyard was magical. I mentioned having green bean eating contests with my cousins. I mean, these are memories. But I will tell you that my grandfather, as am I, was a hunter. We literally would have meals commonly that pertained venison, lettuce from the garden, carrots from the garden, and green beans from the garden. Everything that my grandparents put on that table was self-provided in some cases. Nothing was bought from the grocery store. And I'm just telling you that in today's day and age, that's a real rarity that happens.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've heard it put, Ted, we're the first generation that doesn't prep. You're right. In other words, our parents' generations, their parents' generation, they all prepared for food shortages, supply chain disruptions alike. And I think a lot of it's just the natural superabundance of a commodities-based economy as opposed to a cash-based. Cash ain't going to feed you. Cash ain't going to keep you warm. I don't know, maybe Argentinian pesos, I guess you could burn those. I mean, right, talking about 140% inflation. In your opinion, why haven't Americans prepared for this? Why are we so dependent on these large global supply chains?
That's such an interesting question. And I really actually don't know if I can answer it, because there's a psychology behind it. We're two generations or so removed from complete. When you say preparation, they didn't even know. They knew the word, but they didn't know that they were preparing.
Right. My grandparents didn't know they were preppers. Exactly.
They didn't know they were preppers. Okay. Yeah. Now we're in a society once again where hardly anybody has a garden. The amount of people that can actually take care of themselves for any type of extended period of time is slim to none. Yeah. And what it really is to me is it's the, how can I put this? I grew up in a wonderful middle-class American home with two parents that really took care of me. They both worked. They both, provided for the family. And I just kind of feel like America as a whole, not that we've been like coddled, but we just think everything's going to be all right. Now, the pandemic was a little awakening for that, especially for those people that like to use toilet paper. Right? There was a little awakening during the pandemic. But I just think that people have become pessimistic in a sense of, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. Yeah. That's not going to happen. The last time we spoke, I gave you a hypothetical situation. And the hypothetical story that I tell sometimes is you and I go to sleep tonight and we wake up in the morning and we hear that there was a nuclear event in the Middle East. Now, Iran has been promising for decades that the second they get their hands on a nuclear weapon, first thing they're going to do with it is put it right into Israel. Okay. We spoke last about a year and a half ago. And what I was talking about in that story is I was talking about, although we're okay, and unless we have family there in the Middle East, probably most of our families are okay as well. But the reality is that on that day that something like that would take place, an actual nuclear event outside of World War II, the reality is the economy would absolutely plummet. And I'll get into I'll get into the distribution system here in America in just a second. But if you even look at where we're at today, Dr. Steve, versus a year and a half ago, when I first brought this up to you, how much closer are we to that reality? Now, it might seem to some people like it's still never going to happen. I'm telling you, in this day and age, anything can happen. But we have blinders on. McDonald's is open. McDonald's is open right now. Taco Bell's open. I can go get some riblets at Applebee's after for dinner tonight. I mean, our lives are still cruising along. And that's why I feel like we're the most unprepared generation we are in the history of the actual world, because of the blinders that we have on that everything is going to be okay. Oh, and if something would happen, somehow the government will snap their fingers and make magical carrots and we can all eat. You know, it's a fallacy.
And if I could just parenthetically, it's just so fast because, you know, I've done some videos of the demons of Davos, as we call them, the World Economic Forum. Mm-hmm. They're meeting this week and so forth.
Yes.
But what you're saying, it does seem like the logical outworking of that is that sort of great reset. You will own nothing and you'll be happy. You know, just everything is rented. We take care of everything. You don't have to worry about it. It's all inclusive, right? Mm-hmm. You know,
but
in the end, right, they're controlling everything. And what you're saying is, when you get behind, you see how the sausage is made, as it were, get behind the scenes, it is not in any way, shape, or form anywhere near as stable as they would make you think.
No, it's I believe too. It's, you know, convenience is one of the biggest killers of preparation. Why do I need to prepare? If Dr. Steve, you know, we're a couple minutes into this interview. I'm going to be straight. I haven't eaten lunch yet. So after the interview, I mean, come on. I go to Popeye's Fried Chicken. I go to McDonald's. I go to Taco Bell. I mean, it's convenient. Right. It's very, very convenient. Right. And so to answer your question in a very long-winded way, I believe the reason why we are not prepared really boils down to a number of different things, but convenience being one of them, and the thought and philosophy, McDonald's is going to be there forever. Think about it. McDonald's been there my whole entire life. It's going to be there forever. Right. And that kills the spirit of preparation, because you just don't feel like there's really anything to prepare for.
Do you think there is a sense of ownership there, to like real estate? Money is gold, or, you know, food is garden, or what you hunt for. I mean, I'm renting from McDonald's, right? McDonald's takes care of it all for me, and as long as I have some cash, I can obtain it, but it's not mine. McDonald's isn't mine. Whereas my garden is mine. You know, my kill is mine. You know, my house is mine, as it were. My gold is mine. There's a realist. We've lost touch of the materiality of money and real money and real estate. And it seems like it's playing into exactly the way you traced it out since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. It's just playing into the way the modern world does economy, and even patriots are ironically getting swept up into an economy where they are every bit as vulnerable as the cosmopolitan liberals that we find so much fault with.
Absolutely. You know, back to the preparation piece. You know, I'm sitting here right now. I have lights on. I have electricity. I have heat. You're not feeling any pain A lot of Americans are, okay, but personally, sure, myself, yeah. I'm not sitting here feeling any pain right now.
Right.
And until the pain actually really comes, and as Americans, now I'm in the preparation business, and I'm in the preparation business for a reason. But the fact of the matter is, until the actual pain comes for most people, they don't do anything about it. And the problem with preparation is, especially proactive preparation, is when you start when you're starting to feel the pain, it's generally too late, you know, right. to right. cure it. And so,
right.
you know, I just feel like once again, you know, we've been programmed through convenience and, you know, whatever you need, you get it right now. And
yeah.
And when that day and that time comes, because it will in some which way or form. Yeah. And some people, when you talk preparation, yeah. some people that might come on Monday when they walk in and they lose their job and they have right. no food supply or cash supply, and they haven't prepared for even a very micro family emergency. And then for other people, it's, you know, these catastrophic world fear mongering type events, they're never going to take place. Although horrific events are taking place all over the world right at this very moment when we're talking right. and can escalate at any given time. So yeah, I just yeah. feel like at the end of the day, we've gotten very, very soft and yeah.
That's a good word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's piggyback off that. Give us a plan of action, Ted. You've been in this for so long here. Give us a plan of action. We got supply chain interruptions. We got inflation. What can we do right now to protect ourselves and our families in a time of crisis?
Well, you know, when you're looking at the pillars of survival, you know, you have air, water, food, and shelter. Air, minute and a half, 3 minutes, there's not a whole lot we're going to be able to do if there's no air to breathe, right? That's a T-minus situation. Then you have the three things that you can really control: water, food, and shelter. Shelter, hopefully most people can afford some type of shelter, because shelter is obviously needed, and it's a pillar for a reason. You've got heat, you've got weather situations, Mother Nature isn't the nicest at times, so on and so forth. But the two that you can really control is water and food. And food is something that, you know, it's just an easy equation. We talked about this a little bit last time. How long should I be prepared for? How much food should I have? And how many people do you have in your family? It's really that simple. So like, for instance, if you have six people in your family and you want to be prepared for a year, you know, you're going to be basically buying 6 years worth of food storage to make sure mm-hmm. that your family can eat for that year. Now, FEMA says you should have 2 to 3 weeks worth of food storage. I'm in the business, and I told you this last time, and I'll tell it to you again. When I spoke with you last time, I had about a year's worth of food storage for my family of five. Now I have about 18 months worth of food storage. Okay, for each member of my family. I still feel like a year is a great...
That's a good benchmark, right?
Yeah, it's a great benchmark, because at the end of the day, you have so many different things that can happen. Like I mentioned, a very micro but yet heavy event, you lose the provider of the income for the family, loses their job. It might take 2-3 months to find a new job, or a month, whatever it is. You have some food for that. You have a Mother Nature wreak havoc on you through a hurricane, earthquake, tornado, flood, whatever it might be. You know, that might be a week or 2 week event before you start to get, you know, food in. Then you have your longer events. And I'm not trying to fear monger here. This is what I was talking about earlier. I'm telling you exactly how it is, that if you look around right now, and any one of your viewers looks around wherever they are, they're looking at a computer screen, they can look down at their watch, they can look at their hat, their glasses, their AirPods, whatever it might be, it all got distributed to the person who sold it to you on the back of a diesel truck. So back to my hypothetical situation in the Middle East, if there is a really catastrophic economic situation or a really horrific humanitarian, like a nuclear event that takes place somewhere, even if it doesn't take place here on our soil, it will right. affect us. And if those, right. I tell people all the time, if you're an entrepreneur and you buy a product for $2 and you sell it for $5, you probably have a really good chance for success. If you buy a product for $5 and you sell it for $2, no, the roles are going to be reversed. It's just like the diesel truck operators, and God bless right. them all. The fact of the matter, though, is if diesel fuel gets to $7, $8, $9, $10, $11, $12, they can't run the trucks. If they can't run the trucks, our whole entire supply chain here within the United States just completely shuts down. Now, that includes things that are kind of irrelative, like furniture maybe or television sets in a catastrophic situation. But it really boils down to food. I mean, how much water do you drink out of the tap these days? You know, water now. Is even, when I was a kid, I didn't know what a plastic bottle of water even was. I knew what a garden hose was, and I sucked water out of it like there was no tomorrow. But the fact of the matter, Steve, is that that's the scary thing, is that we look at these supply chains worldwide. We hear about ships here or ships there. Number of years ago, during the pandemic, 1,000 ships outside of Los Angeles and Long Beach ports just stacked out there for miles and miles and miles. Yeah, that's a real supply chain issue. But what we really don't realize is that in the United States of America, we completely rely on what railroads are left and our diesel trucks. And so that is something that, you know, so when you say, what can people do? You know, people are at the mercy and control of all these potential situations that can take place. So once again, what they can do is you can prepare on any budget. You can start preparing for $25. You can go to the grocery store in its simplest form, and instead of buying 5 cans of green beans, you can buy 10, you know, and the only thing you're risking there is that I looked at my watch to see what the date was, that on January 20th, because today's the 19th, on January 20th, the reality of the situation at that point is that nothing happens. Or you can go in and you can say, okay, I've got a family of 5. I want a year's worth of food storage or 3 months worth of food storage. Whatever that number is that you're comfortable with, you put the economics behind it, and you can take care of it all in one fell swoop.
That's so awesome. I mean, you've inspired me to do that in the past, Ted, which I very much appreciate. And gang, all you have to do actually is just click on the link below and check out. We've got a special website that special Dr. Steve website with Ted's Ready Project. They have some super awesome discounts to help you get prepared for whatever comes our way. Just get started. Just do one quick order. Just at least start. Ted, I don't know if you, I mean, do you have any advice when somebody clicks on the link and they check out Ready Food Project? Any advice on what they can look for?
Well, my advice is kind of like what I just mentioned. It's having that simplistic plan and staying within, you know, putting a budget together for this. And that budget, this is something that is so wonderful. You can get a month's worth of food storage or 3 months worth of food storage. We have people that buy 5-10 years worth of food storage and get pallets delivered to them. But I'm just telling you, the key is what you just said. It's get started. Get started with a month.
99% of it right there.
Yeah. Just get started. Yeah. Because once again, you know, I mean, all you got to do, we talked about this before, you and I, is just turn on the news and see what's going on. And back to my analogy about the Middle East, look where we've come in the last year and a half, Dr. Steve, since I was last on the show talking about the Middle East. We have just not taken a step in that direction. We are running a sprint towards an absolute calamity and catastrophe over there that is pretty much probably inevitable at some time during the history of this world. And so, yes, my key is hey, if you can afford a year's worth of food storage, go get a year's worth of food storage. If you can only afford a month's worth of food storage, get a month's worth of food storage, but get started.
Just get started. That perfect advice from an expert, gang. That's what's so cool. So make sure to click on the link below. It'll take you to a special website just for you, just for my audience. You'll love it. I love my little pictures on there. You'll see where Ready Project has some super awesome discounts to get you prepared for whatever comes our way. Again, do not be caught unprepared only to wish you did something about it when you could have. So click on that link below right now. Take advantage of Ted's super awesome savings for our audience. He's a patriot. He loves you, and we love him. Get your food preparation started today. Ted Johnson, my friend, good to see you again. It's been too long. Let's do this again.
Nice to see you.
With the headlines that are coming out each and every day, you know, Ready Project's more relevant than ever.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate you having me. And once again, people, just get started. This could be the most important decision that you make regarding your family and getting proactively prepared.
So well said. Absolutely. Click on that link, gang. You will not regret it. Thanks, Ted. Thank you so much again.
Thank you.